And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, a couple things real quickly. So as to the monologue, I got a text here from John from Huntsville. John says, tell Jeff from Indiana, I totally agree with what he said to Dale Jackson this morning about not having constitutional rights, even though Dale Jackson's a little hard on you. I'd like to say, Jeff from Indiana, you are awesome. So Jeff from Indiana's got groupies. That's John from Huntsville texting in on that one. And then one of my followers on Twitter, I guess in response to what I just, either that or he's replying to something I may have tweeted about this. Anyway, with regards to President Trump's call on the Constitution, and here's the actual quote, by the way. This is the quote from Trump. A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. It's pretty clear, but my follower, who I typically have always agreed with, he goes by a vision leader on Twitter. It's the piece he posted says Donald Trump was not suggesting to terminate the Constitution. What he actually said was the election fraud of 2020 was so massive and of such magnitude that it canceled and thus allowed the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Nowhere, it says, did Donald Trump even remotely suggest doing away with the Constitution. He was defining how the massive fraud of the 2020 election negated the Constitution. I disagree. I don't think he was saying that at all. I think what he's saying right now, and by the way, he's the freaking former president of the United States and a billionaire and somebody with an Ivy League education. He needs to learn how to phrase things better if that's the case, because what he tweeted out did not at all sound like what was just being said here at Vision Leader. So the reality is this. I think what he was literally saying, unless he wants to come back and refute his own statements, I don't need what somebody else says they think he said. I'm looking at it. It's in quotes, and it says, now that they're uncovering fraud basically at Twitter and all that, it should allow for the termination of all the rules, regulations, articles, even those found in the Constitution. That's the way I'm seeing this. It's in quotes, and I'm not – anyway, bottom line is I think Trump was saying let's change the Constitution so we can fix what happened in 2020, and I think that's a bad idea. Bad idea. If he wants to come out with a statement denying it later on, I'd love to see it, and he probably will. Then again, when is he doesn't do that very often, so we'll see. Daniel from Tullahoma, Tennessee just sent something in, but it's blank. I don't know what that is on the text line. So it just has a blank. I've never seen that happen before. How do we get blanks like that? Okay. If you want to text in, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text the show. We'll go through them as we go. Right now, I'm jumping to the first part of the Triple Dipper because I've got Andrew Sorrell calling in top of the hour to kind of cap it off for me. Oh, by the way, Boomer, you ought to go ahead and flick on your camera there, bud, because there's a whole box.
There's a whole box.
Whole box of fat pills sitting on your desk.
Oh, yes.
Bro, I got you a half a dozen of normals and a half a dozen of
chocolate glaze. We got some donuts in the studio today.
So coming up in the next hour, I'll be doing push-ups while Boomer's eating donuts because I missed it by like
just a hair.
Just a margin. Just a shave tail.
Just a shave.
Anyway, I'll be doing push-ups. Boomer's eating donuts.
And it will be on the live stream.
And it will be on the live stream. That's right. At rightsideradio.org. You can see it. Boomer's got a box of fat pills. All right. Number one on the Triple Dipper, taxation fixation. Had somebody tweeted in or texted in earlier. Who was that? Was it, now I'm trying to look back and see who that was, and I apologize. It may have been Tyler. It was Tyler from Huntsville. Says, I could have sworn I've heard these dippers before, LOL. And I said, old titles, fresh material. He said 10-4. The first one I'm doing, taxation fixation. As a reminder, we are in a budget surplus. I'll cover that more in a minute. But we are in a massive budget surplus. As a reminder, I know that some of that surplus is related to a massive influx of one-time federal dollars related to COVID relief, which we still haven't spent. However, even without those COVID relief dollars, revenues to the state of Alabama have increased by $1.5 billion beyond expectation. We have a billion and a half surplus right now. We have so much of a surplus, by the way, that last legislative session, the legislature had to hold an additional budget meeting to have what they called a supplemental appropriation bill because they had excess funds available to spend. How much of it have you seen back, individual citizens? How much have y'all seen back? Raise your hand if you've gotten tax relief in Alabama, because you haven't. Story here from the taxfoundation.org. You hear how, that's a thick one. You hear that? It's like wop, wop, wop. All right. Story here from the Tax Foundation. Among the 46 states that held legislative sessions this year, structural state tax reform and temporary state tax reform were recurring themes. Most state sessions are now complete. This story, by the way, came out in July. It says individual income tax rate reductions have been enacted by 10 states. Individual. That's Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, Nebraska, New York, South Carolina, and Utah. Colorado may just have passed a ballot measure. I'm not sure to do that even still. And Oklahoma may yet. Corporate income tax has been, or reductions have been enacted in 6 states: Idaho, Iowa, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Utah. Did I read out Alabama? No. All right, we also have the fact that Kansas and Virginia lawmakers decided to permanently exempt their groceries from the state sales tax base. Illinois and Tennessee chose to temporarily suspend their sales tax on groceries. You've got Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Maryland, New York enacted the gas tax suspensions. Illinois delayed a tax increase in order to not bring additional burdens on their citizens during a crisis. States like Connecticut, Florida, New Jersey, and Tennessee have put in major state sales tax holidays, while 11 states, California, Colorado, Delaware, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Maine, New Mexico, South Carolina, Virginia, chose to issue rebates to its taxpayers. That's all this year. What did Alabama do? They spent more. That's what Alabama did. And what did they spend it on? Government. Well, for the love of God, are we or are we not a Republican-led state? Well, you know, the other day we had soon-to-be Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, was in studio. And he said he really does believe there are going to be some tax relief measures on the next legislative agenda. And there need to be. And folks, the reason why I'm doing this, the reason why I'm bringing in fresh material to try and talk through this topic is because we have got to contact our state legislators. There's a couple of things out there that they are reluctant to do. It's like, I don't know what the deal is, but it's like pulling a tooth without Novocaine. They are trying desperately not to give any tax relief, and they're trying desperately not to do something to fix schools through school choice. I mean, at what point do they not see that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? I mean, I'm looking at things. There's creative ways to do this, like looking at the same article here. Kentucky. So Kentucky passed House Bill 8, and it uses revenue triggers to reduce the individual income tax by a half percentage point in years in which the triggers are hit. In other words, what they did was they said, okay, if the state has X amount of funds that year, the taxes go down. If it has even more funds, they go down even further. They put revenue triggers in place. You know what? That's something. It's not like immediate. I would love to see them just go ahead and do a blanket cut. But you know what? I applaud the creativity. I applaud them saying, yeah, we're worried about, you know, not having enough, so we'll go ahead and we'll just go ahead and say that if the revenue triggers hit, then we'll lower taxes. We sure will. And they put that into law. They signed off on it. How about Mississippi, though? Mississippi, under Governor Tate Reeves, is eliminating, they did this, eliminating its 4% individual income tax bracket altogether on January 1st of this coming year. It's gone. If you're in the 4% bracket, it's gone. And that'll transition the state to a graduated income tax structure to a flat rate of 5%. The flat rate is scheduled to decrease to 4.7% in 2024, 4.4% in 2025, and finally 4% in 2026. It's a complete restructuring. It's comprehensive tax reform in Mississippi. They are making it easier to be a citizen of the state. Now, some will say, but Alabama has the lowest property taxes in the nation. I know we do, and we still have $1.5 billion in surplus. So here's a couple of things. Alabama, I am very proud of the fact that Alabama has a balanced budget requirement in its constitution. So they have to balance the budget every year. We can't do deficit spending like they do in Chicago or in Illinois or some states like that. We can't do it. We have to. But what they used to always do was just over budget on purpose, and then wait and see whether it'd be a middle of the year proration. Proration means halfway through the year, the governor looks at revenues, realizes we're not going to make it, and he has to cut the budget in the middle of the year and prorate the budget. Well, proration is painful. And by the way, whenever you give state employees a raise, my recollection was you cannot prorate their pay. You can only prorate services and capital expenses. So what that means is all of a sudden budgets get slashed in the middle of the year. Well, so here's one statement for you. I used to always say this on the campaign trail. If your budget prorates in the middle of the year, it was never balanced to begin with. So there's that. But then the other thing that I'll say is if you as a government have a budget surplus, that means you took more from the taxpayers than what you needed. Now, I get it when it's a year, like wow, we had a great year. Didn't see that coming. And we did. We instituted some reforms when I was in the legislature, balanced the budgets for the first time in years, and got them really in line. You haven't seen proration now since we took charge of the State House in 2010, which is great. But at the same time, we did some things and put some measures in place that dramatically increased the ability to streamline and put efficiencies into the collection of revenues. And so now we're seeing that paying off. But at some point, when you do that, you look at it, the first year is like, oh, great. Wow. Whew, it worked. And look, we had some extra left over at the end of the year. What a novel thing, because Alabama hadn't had that in a long time. But when you start doing it year after year, then it's time to start giving it back. Because your only alternative is to spend it on government or to give it back to the people from whom you took it. And right now what we're seeing is a great reluctance on the part of legislators to dare giving some back. I'm looking at this report. I'm not going to go into all the different states, but I can just tell you right now, if you picture the map, here's Alabama sitting square in the center of the Southeast. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, all ringing around us, stacking on top of us, to our left, to our right, to our north, to our south, all of them did major tax reforms and refunds and rebates to their people, and Alabama hasn't done squat on that. And we've got to. If we're going to maintain our status as a truly red, not a purple, but a red state, then some measurable tax reform has to take place. Boomer, I tell you what, man, take us to the break. We'll come right back and move this thing forward. I got a piece here you're going to want to hear about cash-rich states, and I've got another one that came from 1819, or about maybe Alabama should strive to be more like Mississippi. You don't see that headline very often. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Sitting here in the studio with the new Christmas tree and a box of donuts. Man, it's a good day.
That's a good day.
It's hard not to have a good day when you got a Christmas tree and a box of donuts, man. That's just good stuff right there. I'm keeping on with this topic we're on right now, taxation fixation. CNBC, Phil, did you go to CNBC? Yes, I did. All right, story that came out earlier this year pointed out that in 2021, state revenues across the board grew by 14.5%. That's across the board. It's not like Alabama just had it going on. We did. But literally what's happened is there were people who were being paid. I mean, a lot of times what they're seeing is there's a cash influx to the economy. People are being sent money. They're being paid not to work. It was literally like almost like, and I know some of y'all are going, I didn't see mine. But the reality is there was more cash in people's pockets during the pandemic than had ever been expected to happen. And as a result, people had more spending power, and so they began buying. And then, of course, you've also got the fact that a lot of folks sat at home, got bored, and got on Amazon. So, I mean, that happened. Credit card debt did go up. There was a lot in the economy that had not been expected during the pandemic. So that being said, across the board, 14% increases. AP News has a story that came out in the tail end of August of this year. And it starts off by pointing out that Missouri devised a $500 million plan to send one-time tax refunds to millions of its households. In a shock to some people, Republican Governor Mike Parson vetoed it. You know why? Because he wanted a bigger, long-lasting tax cut. In Parson's words, he said, "Now is the time for the largest income tax in our state's history," Parson declared as he called for lawmakers to come back into a special session to consider a $700 million permanent tax reduction. You're not hearing that from Governor Ivey. You're not hearing that from our current legislature. Right now, there is discussion by some, and I appreciate it. I know Senator Orr from Decatur has been on this more than anybody, saying that we've got to do something, whether it be a tax rebate. Most recently, I believe his comments said that we're looking at the possibility of a tax rebate and some form of measurable tax relief, you know, comprehensive tax relief. I don't know what that would mean yet. My hope is that they will either fully or partially eliminate the grocery tax and, oh, by the way, provide rebates. I think that would be considered, you know, a win. But what's happening is the bureaucrats in Montgomery can't stand the idea of someone saying you're not going to have as much money in government because we're going to give some back to the people. Well, Justin Bogey, who's been on the show multiple times, friend of mine that works at the Alabama Policy Institute, he's their fiscal analyst. He wrote a piece that came out 3 days ago. It's titled, "When It Comes to Tax Relief, Alabama Should Strive to Be More Like Mississippi." You don't hear that title very often. But earlier this month, it says Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves announced that he would pursue further income tax cuts in the upcoming legislative session. I mean, that's after all they've already done. In 2022, it says they enacted legislation in Mississippi to eliminate the state's 4% income tax bracket, which I told you about a moment ago. Reeves feels the state government should press forward in efforts to take less and less from Mississippians. Alabama, Justin points out, wrapped up 2021 with a $1.5 billion revenue surplus, and in 2022, it's already collected more taxes from Alabamians, finishing the fiscal year with a $2 billion revenue surplus. Wow. So over the last 2 years, $3.5 billion in surplus funds. And we're also still sitting on another $1 billion in federal stimulus funds that have not yet been allocated. The difference is what Alabama, Justin says, is doing with the excess tax dollars it took from you. What has Alabama state government, he says, done to take less taxes from citizens? Well, it's done the bare minimum. And one thing it did do, in 2022, they like to say they passed $160 million in targeted tax cuts. Half of those savings came from them just deciding not to tax you on your COVID relief dollars. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm glad. I remember calling for that myself here on the show. I'm glad, but don't call it a tax cut. All you did was go, you know what, that thing you've never had before? Our tax code would allow us to tax it, and so we're not. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. That is good. But don't go claiming, we saved $160 million to the taxpayer. No, you literally agreed not to tax what you should have never taxed in the first place. Okay, then it also says that when gas prices peaked early this year, Governor Kay Ivey balked at the idea of suspending the state gas tax, unlike our neighboring states. Nothing has been done, it says, to combat near-record inflation. None of the state's latest $2 billion revenue surplus has been spent. The remaining $1 billion in American Recovery Plan Act stimulus dollars has also not been spent. All right, listen. We're not alone in this. Other states have got to make decisions, but right now, the frustrating thing, as we head to the break, the frustrating thing for me is knowing that we never had surpluses in the past, and now that we do, it's like they're in a depression mentality and they can't let go. They've got to recognize that the people of the state are where they got it from. It's time to bring some of it back. Coming up next, our new state auditor, Andrew Sorrell, going to be on the phone with us, and we'll talk through it with him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.